From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network, Dr. Jayakrishna Ambati from the University of Kentucky is interviewed by Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling about the discovery of a novel biological marker for neovascular age-related macular degeneration.
Dr. Jayakrishna Ambati is Professor of Physiology and Professor and Vice Chair of Ophthalmology and Visual Sciences at the University of Kentucky. His research focuses on identifying the molecular mechanisms underlying the development of age-related macular degeneration. He also wants to determine the triggers of the angiogenic switch that converts this disease from an atrophic to a neovascular phenotype, and to develop novel therapeutics to prevent and treat this blinding condition. Dr. Ambati, before we examine your research discovery, let's first talk about age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. Would you describe the condition and how it causes blindness?
Age-related macular degeneration, or AMD for short, is a disease that affects the center of the retina, which is called the macula, and hence its name. And there are two flavors, if you will, of this disease, the so-called dry form and the wet form. And fortunately, most people have the dry form of the disease, which causes very little change in vision in most patients who have it. Unfortunately, in people who develop, go on to develop the wet form of the disease, which is characterized by the development of abnormal or bad blood vessels that invade the retina, those patients can suffer tremendous loss of vision, and a lot of them can actually go on to what's called legal blindness. And it's a condition that's very prevalent among the elderly in our country and abroad.
You and your research team reported the discovery of a biological marker for AMD. Tell us more about this biomarker. For example, its role in the body and how it actually serves as a biomarker.
So what we found is that a molecule called CCR3, which is a short name for a receptor that's found on the surface of abnormal blood vessels, is unique to macular degeneration. That is, we found it in all the cases of macular degeneration samples we studied in humans who have the disease, and it was not found in any other disease state or in people who didn't have macular degeneration. So the really exciting aspect of this research is that for the first time now we have a unique molecular signature or biomarker for macular degeneration. And until now, the CCR3 molecule was primarily implicated in diseases like asthma and other allergic conditions. But now we've uncovered an entirely new function for this molecule, that is its expression and promotion of abnormal blood vessel growth.
Picking up on this thought, you've said that the discovery of this new biomarker marked a major paradigm shift in macular degeneration research. Would you elaborate on the statement, and how might the discovery of marker be used in the diagnosis and treatment of AMD?
Well, until now, the way we diagnose and treat macular degeneration is after symptoms have already occurred. That is, until these abnormal blood vessels actually invade the retina and disturb the cells in the retina, the patient doesn't experience any symptoms. There's no loss of vision. And similarly, the doctor who's looking into the eyes of patients doesn't see anything until there are these very profound changes. So the treatment now has been one of a reactive paradigm. That is, we see a disease and then we try to treat it. And unfortunately, because of that, very few patients actually recover good vision, even with the best available treatment. What this research has now shown us is now provided a way to detect the disease when it's subclinical. That is, even when the disease is there underneath the retina and not causing vision loss and not visible to the doctor at the present time, we can actually image these blood vessels even while they're not in the retina. That is, we can possibly prevent the formation of the blood vessels into the retina and possibly prevent the loss of vision in the first place. So that's what I mean by a paradigm shift in how macular degeneration is diagnosed and treated.
Please discuss the experiment your group performed that led to the finding that CCR3 could serve as a biomarker for AMD.
Well, my laboratory and my professional career is devoted to understanding the development of macular degeneration and developing new strategies to diagnose and treat it. There are at least 10 million Americans who have this condition, and it's a very profound, debilitating condition in those who've lost central vision. And so we've been trying to find, for the better part of a decade, a unique molecule or a unique signature that's found in macular degeneration. And one of the outgrowths of our research is that the immune system is disturbed in patients with macular degeneration. So for quite some time now, we've been looking and examining at the function of various molecules of the immune system to see whether they might be uniquely associated with macular degeneration. So in the course of that work, we found that this particular one, CCR3, was very specific for this disease state.
I understand in the preclinical experiment you relied on anti-CCR3 antibodies. Can you talk about how you actually tested the effectiveness in that preclinical study and what kind of results did you come up with?
So we used a widely used model of neovascular age-related macular degeneration in a mouse model. And what we showed is that injecting not only anti-CCR3 antibodies, but other small molecules that block CCR3, we were able to significantly and indeed profoundly reduce the actual size or volume of the neovascularization. And what was interesting is that we were able to suppress the neovascularization to an even greater extent than the best available treatment that's available today, which is anti-VEGF antibodies. And VEGF is a very important molecule in promoting blood vessel growth, and there's an FDA-approved treatment for neovascular macular degeneration using a VEGF antibody fragment. And what we showed is that the CCR3 neutralization by antibodies can reduce the neovascularization by about 70% compared to only about 60% by the VEGF antibody. And even more important than the improved effectiveness, we found that there was no toxicity in the retina associated with blocking CCR3, unlike in the case of blocking VEGF, where some toxicities have been noted both by us and by previous reports.
Based on this study, what projects do you have in mind to move this research forward?
Well, we're most excited about using CCR3 as an in vivo, non-invasive biomarker to image the blood vessels in the eyes of patients before they've actually caused visual loss. And to move that forward, we are actually tweaking some of the technology we described in our paper. So, for instance, in our work, we described using quantum dots that were conjugated with CCR3 antibodies to detect the blood vessels. Quantum dots may have some issues with regard to potential heavy metal toxicity because of their molecular constituents, and therefore we're moving to a different platform along the lines of a near-infrared dye that also fluoresces and is organic and therefore biocompatible, and we're conjugating the near-infrared dyes with CCR3 antibodies and performing these studies. And we're hoping over the next year to do a small pilot clinical trial in patients at very high risk for developing neovascular macular degeneration to see whether this can be effective in detecting the disease at the earliest possible stage.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghouse saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.